Welcome once again to another fantastic episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. We help business creators like you win at the game of business and marketing so you can thrive from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion and make a difference for your community, market, and audience. Please take a moment and visit our website, www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. You'll find hundreds of episodes covering a breadth and depth of topics relevant to you as a business creator, and links to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. And now, here's today's episode. Let's get started.
My name is Adam Homey. I'm your host, and I am honored once again by your wise decision to tune in and invest in yourself today. The Business Creators Radio Show is not one of those podcasts that has a Hollywood quality type studio feel. In fact, we don't have a studio. I do all these from my laptop, and sometimes I do them from cafes. Sometimes I do them from a cigar shop or a coffee shop. Sometimes I do them while sitting on the couch in my sumptuous apartment here in Las Vegas, known to some as the hottest city in America. And today, we're sitting out on my balcony. And the reason is, we go to places where you have those mastermind moments mastermind meetings and aha moments that can change your trajectory or at least bring you a little bit closer to serving from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion. So let's dive into a topic that actually two topics that are very near and dear to me, both of which that I either am or have been doing work here. And as you're going to see in a moment, you're going to learn a bit about prospecting like a girl. So hold that thought. But today's title is Leveraging Emotional Intelligence Over Artificial Intelligence in a Business. So in this day and age with artificial intelligence and everything, AI, I want to bring back, and this is why I'm having today's guest here, we want to discuss the important role of emotional intelligence, which is something that I've been working in for over 20 years in the areas of sales and prospecting. So despite all this AI everywhere, now it's shaping sales strategies, it's actually developing sales plans, it's actually being used to write marketing plans, it's being used to not only write sales and marketing scripts, but also to carry out sales conversations. Holy moly, our guest is about the undeniable power of emotional intelligence, arguing that it remains uncontested when it comes to truly connecting with prospects. Now, I tend to agree with this. I love artificial intelligence. But I also believe in the importance of humanization of emotional intelligence. I see people who create content using ChatGPT or QuickWrite or any of the other AI writers out there, but they forget the humanization part. And just as a tangent or a segue or a sidebar, you know, there are algorithms that can tell if your content is AI. And the human brain is the most powerful algorithm that's ever been invented. And it can sense AI from a mile away. You need to humanize this stuff. And this is where I think emotional intelligence comes in. But our guest will tell me if I'm way off base. But let's introduce her. Her name is Kelly Lichtenberger. She's the founder of Prospect Like a Girl and head of the WW Sales Development and Avanon, a checkpoint company. She helps women succeed in sales by using their emotional intelligence over artificial intelligence and bringing her over 25 years of experience in sales, marketing, leadership, and inside sales development, she carries a diverse background in building revenue-driven inside sales teams within high-growth, high-tech organizations, as well as founding her own. As a five-time AAISP Most Influential Sales Professionals winner, Kelly is a noted expert on training, building, and growing exceptional teams. Kelly also travels the country speaking with companies in all industries on how to build and maintain successful themes, make process your purpose, getting comfortable in the uncomfortable zone, and winning with women in sales.
That's a lot.
Kelly Lichtenberger, come on in. The weather's fine.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, I just read off your official bio. That is so impressive. I'm not even sure I'm worthy to be in your presence. And this is my show. What I want to do is I want to get behind the bio before we dive into this topic, which I'm very fascinated in. And let's peel back the curtain and tell us in your own words, aside from that very, very illustrious bio, a bit about your journey and what's brought you to where you are today, serving business creators from your intersection of your brilliance and your passion.
So I have started my sales career So many years ago, in encyclopedia sales, door to door is where I got my start, and did that so I could handle the rejection and objection part that I knew would be difficult in the journey. And absolutely loved it. And, you know, this is when I walked neighborhoods and knocked on people's doors. It's such a foreign concept today. People don't even answer their doors, but that's what I would do. And then, continued, absolutely loved the idea of selling, wanted to do it corporate. And so started my career in technology sales and continued and putting together for companies, sales development, inside sales teams. So the people that are right there having to pick up the phone, email, do anything possible to get people to listen to our message, is what I've built my career on. And I absolutely love it. I think it's a skill set that a lot of people, I think, would benefit from if they revisited how to do certain skills like that with the phone and you know, how to get people interested when you can't see them and you're not face to face. And it's something that's really passionate, a passion of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. So you gave me a number of points you want us to cover in the green room. And the motif of the Business Creators Radio Show is you and I are just going to sort of sit back and have sort of a mastermind conversation around the ideas surrounding our topic. So I'm going to get to all of the areas one way or another that you identified for us. Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to jump kind of into the middle of this because it feels like somewhere in the middle is where we actually need to begin. And I want to start with something very macro and we'll come from there because this is something that leaps out at me as an entrepreneur, a business owner, and somebody who has a product and a service to sell is that how does emotional intelligence trump artificial intelligence when it comes to prospecting? Because we see so much with AI being used as a prospecting tool anymore.
You got it. So, you know, the human element is quickly being diminished by all AI. And before COVID, it was about 8 touches to get to who you needed to prospect. After COVID, it went up to 11 or 12. Now with AI, we're at about 16 to 17. And it's getting really murky out there as far as, you know, what people want to respond to, because a lot of it is just sounding, and it's coming from AI. Right. So it's sounding like AI. So why would somebody want to continue that path? It's the same thing with our personal life. We call because we need some help with something and it's push this button, do this thing, do that thing. I just want to get to a human. And at the end of the day, that's the most important part of any sale, is the human element and building those relationships.
Yeah, I have to get really visceral here for just a second. And our listeners are used to this. And I think that your listeners, when you share this episode, are going to kind of nod internally, even though it's going to be a little shock to their system. But I am now more and more seeing, and this is particularly technology companies and SaaS companies, that will use artificial intelligence for their tech support. And the AI has a feature that decides whether a paying customer is eligible to speak with a human being about their issue.
It's unbelievable. The number
and,
of
and,
times.
And when I saw that, my reaction was, fuck this. I'm your paying customer. Yeah. I'm not going to abuse your tech support with stupid questions, but I pay you for this.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do live phone support, that's fine. But if there's an actual emergency situation, I need to be communicating with a human being. That can be through a live chat if you need it to be. If you want to do like detailed tech support where you're training somebody on something, you can have an application where you schedule a training call with them. That's perfectly fine too. I'm seeing web hosting companies and SaaSes that do things like manage surveys and assessment tools doing more and more of this, where they do their in-depth tech support through scheduled Zoom calls. That's fine too. In fact, in some ways, that's a good idea because it allows people to be focused. But if I have an emergent situation, like particularly if it's a web hosting company and my website's down, no, your AI is not going to decide if I'm eligible to speak with somebody. You're going to give me somebody.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's not even a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And
but
it's
but we're saying that, and I think and I understand where the companies are coming from, because let's use the web hosting companies as an example. They get too many people that say, "How do I set up my email?" When I'm sorry, for things like that, if the company gave you a specific tutorial that gives you all of the POP and SMTP settings and exactly how to configure your username and password and what to add after the at symbol and everything else and how to do it in Gmail, Microsoft 360, and 10 other applications, and there are tabs that take you to each one of those 10 different softwares, I'm sorry, use the tutorial and only call in if it doesn't work. I get that. But if my website's down, and you're my hosting company, and I can't figure out why, like maybe it's just Apache overload, but I don't have the button to push, or maybe we're under DDoS attack. No. Your AI is not going to decide if I'm eligible. I'm eligible. Yeah. Not only eligible, but freaking entitled.
That's right.
And I came across this way because I want to capture for your listeners and my listeners some of the visceral feelings that I think in some cases the veneers of how we feel we need to present ourselves prevents us from expressing. So we might do some of this behind closed doors. You know, the reason I work from a home office is that sometimes when I get into certain work modes, I can't possibly work without uttering a spew of profanities, and I need to do that somewhere. You know, back when I was in the web development field years and years and years ago, I used to leave notes in the source code of the websites that were strings of profanities that would make a sailor blush, just because I wanted to see if my clients would find them. A few of the clients did, and they said, "Oh yeah, you whoever wrote this is the real thing, because I deal with you people all the time, and I know that's how you work."
And isn't it nice when you finally do have somebody that knows you're human? It actually lets down everybody's guard.
That's the humanity piece of this too. Because I'll tell you another thing that really pissed me off is one time when I was really frustrated with AI tech support, which I, as a good sport, tried to use, but it just wasn't written well, and it hadn't acquired information that was really helpful. And I said, "Will you fucking give me a human being?" And it said, "Yep. Let's keep it professional and do not use that type of language." It's like, you're a computer. I don't care about the Terminator movies. You're pissing me off. All right. Okay. I got that out of my system. I'm going to be nice now. But I did want to capture that because this is a real show about real people. And this is what people in general really think. And this is how they really talk. So, we're really having a real conversation here. So this whole thing about emotional intelligence. And you know, I said myself that artificial intelligence doesn't work without humanization. And to me, EI, emotional intelligence, is a form of humanization. So now I want to go to something that is also in a lot of people's minds, particularly when it comes to AI prospecting. You, Kelly, have said that the cold call will never die. Why is that?
That's for me. That's what I say. If everybody else out there keeps saying it died, that's great for me, because then I'll get right through. Uh-huh. Here's what I think. I think a lot of times people say things are dead or don't work when they're not skilled at them. Right. And there's a lot of people not skilled at cold calling because they, you know, the term hasn't changed in all of these years. I don't know why it's still called cold calling. You're essentially, yes, it might be a cold call, but the connotation is a lot different. I'm not looking to sell anything on my first time going in. I'm looking to start those relationships, see what people are interested in, you know, what are the things that they're looking at. I don't know if I can help them or not, but let's have the conversation. I'm in this space, which is email security. What are you doing for it? How did you choose what you use? Let's just have a conversation. And at the end of the day, if you want to learn more, see what's new out there, see how I differentiate from the others, let's keep talking. If not, we're good. We can move on. But it doesn't have to be this, you know, going in and I'm selling on the first try and it's all the bits and bytes. I don't care about that. That's not what I'm talking about. And that's not what I want to do. That's not enjoyable. Chances are you will get hung up on. I'm talking about getting in, you know, to have real conversations and to be a true thought leader in your space. And to be a true thought leader, you have to do both things. You have to not only find out information, and give information. I call it, you know, you have to be interested, not interesting. So you have to hear and listen and have them teach you some things. I want to know what the people in certain industries and in certain careers, I'm genuinely interested in what's the thing that they're looking at. Am I close to what they need? Am I not? But we'll find out. Let's just talk about it for a second.
Right. And this is why I'm in the business of podcasting, working with entrepreneurs to launch your podcast and manage your podcast, is that, you know, the conversation you and I are having right now, I view it as a replacement for a cold call. Because mm-hmm. now, let's say, you come to me a little bit later and you have a coaching service that you perhaps want to sell me, or a consulting service or what have you. Well, you're not this random person dialing for dollars. Oh, yeah, you're Kelly. We had that great conversation about EI a couple months ago. That's a different frame than, hi, my name is Kelly Lichtenberger, and I saw you on AI, and I saw you on LinkedIn, and you're doing a great job as a coach. It's like there's an element of coaching to what I do, but I'm not branded as a coach.
Yeah, exactly.
As because coaching is a very specific thing, and I don't take away from people who are professional coaches that way. I do coach my clients, but it doesn't lead with coaching.
Right.
For when I am in that type of mode, I'm more of a consultant or a tech guide. But that being said, that right there, I use as an example of where one of the areas of cold calling is people scrape data, they buy data, they dial for dollars, and they don't care if the script's messed up because they'll just make it up in volume. Well, I used to work in environments that were in cold calling type environments, and I got to tell you, no wonder people burn out.
Exactly.
Yeah. In fact, I worked for that company like that, that was in that type of sales. And I actually had a deal blown because my supervisor, I wrote about her in a book, believe it or not. I mean, she was so awful to work with. I celebrate the day that I quit that job under duress as my second birthday, April 27th, which just happened, by the way. I was on a chat, on a phone call. It was about 15 minutes into a conversation with a company owner. My job was a recruiter for temporary employees in various industries. And I was this close to possibly getting five opportunities to place our temps with this company. I was this close to it because I was taking a few minutes to get to know the company, mm-hmm. and my supervisor interrupts and then says, "What are you doing on the phone with them? Ask them if they need somebody. If not, hang up. We're busy."
Wow.
The person on the other end said this to me. They said, "Oh, I see what company that is. Tell you what, after you burn out, give me a call." Mm-hmm. And they ended the call. So that cost me potentially five commissions.
Wow.
But that type of environment, that whole cold calling, dialing for dollars, that's never been emotionally intelligent, even before artificial intelligence, even before whatever that was in the Terminator. I think that was Skynet.
I think, unfortunately, that's what a lot of people still have in their mind.
Right.
It's what even prevents a lot of people from starting and to getting into their sales career. They hear, sales development role or inside sales sometimes even, and they think, oh gosh, I don't want to be just doing that. My way of training and working with a team just isn't that. That's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Again, I want to really use it as a chance to get to know companies and not have just the one-time sale anyway. You know, it has to be something that can stay with the company and, you know, have a customer for a long time. Yeah. But it's too bad that there are places that still exist like that.
Yeah.
A bad name.
Right. I'm going to take a huge leap, and I'm going to guess, I'm not going to ask your age or anything like that, but I'm going to guess that you and I are in a fairly similar cohort generationally. And I'm going to just put it out there and ask you, have you ever seen a cartoon series called King of the Hill?
Absolutely.
You have. So you're familiar with Hank Hill. He works for Strickland Propane, where we sell propane and propane accessories.
That's right.
And do you remember an episode where there was a sales contest and we got to see what kind of salesman Hank was, where at the beginning of the month, you'd have prospects come into Strickland Propane looking for a grill. And he would just simply hand them the brochure and say, "Thank you. Have a nice day." That was his entire interaction with them. But then there was this other person working there who thought they were going to be a big hotshot salesperson, and they were doing the hard sell and getting people to buy grills that day. Well, what happened is that person who's doing the hard sell was basically selling people a bill of goods. And then you fast forward to near the end of the month, and a lot of the hotshots customers are coming back complaining, wanting refunds. And then just as that guy is losing his commanding lead on the sales board, he almost had salesman of the month. You see the stream of people all holding the brochures that Hank had handed them a few weeks earlier, and they're all ready to buy grills. I mean, it was a little overly simplistic, but I think they got the right idea.
But I think that's what it is. You know, people forget that in your personal life and professional life, both the same. If the pain's not great enough, chances are you're not buying anyway. Nobody's right. Sitting around with the budget just waiting. So this is a conversation, again, where I said 18 touches. You're going to email, you're going to send, you know, additional things. They may see a demo. They may see, there's a lot of things that are going to happen and transpire before we ever start moving to even speaking about price. So you have to figure out, is it something that they need? And after that, you know, you have to have the conversations of, you know, how bad is the issue that they need to solve? How quickly do they need to solve it? It's all of those things. But again, it all comes back down to that pain, whether they're going to get the budget or not. So,
right.
And you can start the conversation today, and there's nothing greater than, okay, it doesn't work out now. Bummer. But if you kept the conversation in a place that there was mutual respect there, when they do need it, they're calling you back.
Right.
And that feels great. Oh my gosh. I do remember you from a year ago, 2 years ago. Fantastic. It's really important not to burn those bridges. And people jump around to different companies. They could go somewhere else that they call you back. And again, nobody wants to be sold. People want to genuinely learn from each other. And I think that's the best way to get through the sales process these days.
And I think it's also okay to be authentic. You know, there's a tactic that I've used that I've actually used to close a couple of podcast launch deals is I got to know somebody, and then I spoke with them about the possibility of doing it. And they gave whatever reason or excuse they came up with not to do it. And then I would circle back again, and they would say, oh, I don't know. And I said, tell you what, here's the thing. I think you should launch a podcast. You're not sure, you're not there, what have you. So let's make a deal that every so often, I'm going to send you a message. It'll probably be a text or a DM or something like that. And I'm going to say, are you ready to finally do this, or have you still been going without sleep? That's going to be the question I ask you over and over again. And you're either going to give the A answer, which is, yes, let's do this already, or you're going to give the sad, dopey loser B answer, which is, no, I'm not ready yet. So can we agree on that? And they usually laugh and laugh. Yes. And we all laugh and laugh together. And then we go back and forth with that a couple months. And I've had three or four of them get to the point where they say, oh yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
That's great.
And I've also had situations where somebody's told me, oh, I don't know, maybe in 6 months. And then 5 months and 3 weeks later, I hear them announcing they launched their new podcast. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I thought we were talking in 6 months, which leads to my next question is, I'm not sure, and this is kind of a random thing, how emotionally intelligent it is to ritualize everything. Because if I say I'm going to get back to you in 3 months, and, right now we're talking in May of 2024, and you hear from me in August of 2024, you already know what it's about. So if you're not ready for me, those defenses are already up a little bit.
I can say this though, when you're talking to somebody, there's, you know, three answers you can get. Yes, no, and maybe.
Right.
Yes is fantastic because they're going to buy. No is also great because you know where you stand. The worst answer you can get is maybe. So if you don't take that maybe, I don't care, 3 months, but what is it in 3 months we're going to talk about? And if you don't set up the things, you know, and what's next if I do that? And if I do this and then I call you in 3 months, what happens next? You have to make sure that they're not just pushing you off as well, because you're not only wasting their time, but you're wasting yours.
If I may, just for absolute clarity, I use that tactic with people who I figured were kind of back burner anyway.
Got it.
And I framed it in such a way where it was just kind of a running joke between us, but there was a serious element that they could say yes at any time. And as I said, a few of them did.
Yeah, of course. I love that you are authentic and you make it funny and how you're going at it. But the ones that are just sitting out there that people just put out there for a few months to call back, if you do it with nothing else really to cement that meeting of what's going to happen, you're in the same place. You just wasted 3 months.
Right.
And they could easily have gone somewhere else. You could have really opened their mind to something that they may need, and somebody else calls from a competitor and they end up having the actual conversation and buying. So you have to watch out for that. That's where I'm saying to really know what the next steps are, and don't just be setting up the next steps as a call without, again, cementing what you're going to do. Am I going to send you something ahead? What's going to have you look at this? What, you know, really find out, because you want to tell them, I don't want to waste your time. It's the same way. I don't want to just send you an email to send you an email to get rid of you. But is there something you actually want to read or not? I could fill your inbox. Everybody else is doing it these days, but gets you nowhere. So again, being authentic and really coming, you know, right up and letting them know that this is, hey, this is what I expect, and let me know what you expect from me. And if it's a deal and we can talk, let's keep going. But if not, let's be honest about it too.
Right. And I agree with that too. And I've also, you know, found over time that, that, you know, and I've heard this many different places. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a big believer in consent and boundaries, but you hear so many times, and whether this is in business and even within the idea of dating relationships, and I'm actually going to develop that slightly just so that people understand where I'm coming from, that no means not right now. So let me develop that from like a dating and relationships type thing. Let's say you're interested in somebody and you ask them out and they say no. Well, your best thing to do is to think in your mind, maybe no means not right now. Maybe they're seeing somebody and they're kind of working it out, want to see how that goes before they see somebody else. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're already in a relationship. Maybe they're not feeling they want to be in a relationship. Maybe they're not seeing you as relationship material yet. So you can nag them and say, oh, why not? And be a simp or whatever. Or you'd say, cool. But in the meantime, if they're amenable to it, there's other ways you can interact with them. And maybe you ask them out again a month later. Well, maybe they're in a different place. Maybe that person they were seeing, that didn't work out. Maybe a month ago they weren't interested in dating, but now they are. Maybe they've come to see you differently and now they're willing to give you a shot. So that's what I mean by no means not right now. It doesn't mean forcing over somebody's boundaries. It has to do with relationship building. I think it's the same thing with sales.
I agree. And any of those reasons that you were just giving as examples, those are great. And you can still work within them. Again, that's why I think it's a great answer. Like you said, no can mean any of the not right now reasons.
Right.
But it doesn't have to mean forever. And that's the great thing too about the no answer. And, you know, just having those clear defining reasons why. And I'm going to absolutely call back. I could have new products that I have to talk to you about.
Exactly. And you know, going back to the dating frame for a moment, let's say I don't know your personal situation and I'm not asking you out or anything, but let's just say I asked you out and you said, no. Now, if I interpret that as not right now, well, at the same time, that also means I'm not going to sit around waiting for you either. So now I'm not going to put you on a pedestal. I'm not going to build my world around you. I'm not going to get one-itis about you. I'm going to say, well, Kelly's not coming to the plate, so I'm going to keep looking.
Absolutely.
And I think this is another trap that folks get into, is they get one-itis about their prospects. They got to land this one prospect. And meanwhile, they may actually be walking through the acres of diamonds and just not see them scattered all over the ground because they're only focused on that statue they put up on a pedestal way over in the other side of the field.
Correct. And now that's where AI can actually benefit a salesperson.
Okay, so tell us about that.
So AI, I say use it for data all day long. Different industries, different titles, and what the top three things are that they may be looking for to really help you hone in what you need to either address, bring up, see what the actual areas of interest might be. So again, once you do get to the conversation about bits and bytes, you're going to know which ones they are most interested in. You don't want to give them your whole product catalog if that's not going to be of interest.
Right.
Maybe there's specific things for specific industries or specific titles that could really hit home and kind of guide the conversation to get to that end result being the yes or no much quicker. But that's all you can, within seconds, you can know so much about an industry where it used to take me, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks to get as much as I need, or what person to talk to, or what title would be most interested in that subject. All of those things are readily available now with AI.
Yeah. And I think we can tie that to human behavior. So I imagine you've probably been to a conference or seminar or two over the years. And what happens at the networking reception? You have these people come up to you, and they'll walk up to you, glance down at your name tag, and then look you up in the eye and glance down and look up, and they'll say, Kelly, what do you do?
Yep.
Like, mm-hmm. I got a story for you. I went to this networking function once. It was for one of the many Bill Walsh events that happened here in Las Vegas, and there's that famed networking reception he hosts in one of the casino lounges, one of the VIP areas the night before. I think it's called the Ultimate Wealth Camp. And I was supposed to meet somebody there. And when I was arriving there, the other person said, oh, sorry, I can't make it. So now I'm in this dark, loud room full of a bunch of complete strangers, which, given my highly introverted nature, I'm already about ready to freak out. And I decided after 10 minutes, no, I can't do this. I can't do this. I'm just leaving. It doesn't matter. I'm leaving. And as I'm walking out, I'm kind of shoulder my way through the crowd. And I get next to some guy. He's sitting by the bar, and we make eye contact, and he taps me on his shoulder and says, hey there, what do you do? And I looked him in the eye and says, does it really fucking matter? Because I was just that frustrated. And he laughed. He said, you know what? Now that I think of it, it doesn't really matter. I don't know you from Adam. Ha, ha, ha. And then we had a joke about that. And he ended up referring me a high-ticket client. And where it started is he and I and the other person he was with decided we didn't really want to be in that noisy room either, so we went somewhere and hung out. But it raises the point that it doesn't matter what you do. What matters is how you can serve somebody. So in less noisy places, when I've been at these types of things, if somebody starts with these, so what do you do? I just, very smoothly spin it around to them and get them talking about themselves, because it doesn't matter what I do until I know what they need, I know what they want, and I know what they're going to respond to. That third one being the most important thing. Because once I know something about their needs, something about their wants, something they're going to respond to, then I know whether or not I can serve them, and if so, how. And it might be the same offer for everybody, but people may need to hear the language differently.
Correct. And really, people, when you get down to it, they do want to talk about themselves.
Yeah.
So if you're sitting there spending the whole time talking about you, even though they asked you the question, you're going to lose them. Because does anybody really care?
Yeah.
No, they want to talk about themselves in those situations.
You know how I've gotten some people to do podcasts? I've gotten them to stop thinking about it as a podcast, and I've got them to start thinking about it as opening 50 sales conversations every year.
Well, there you
go. It's like the technology doesn't matter. It's what it's about is you're getting 50, if you're doing a weekly show, or 52, potentially high-value conversations with potential high-ticket customers or people who can refer the same to you.
And so
everything else is regardless. You pay our production company to handle the rest of it for you. Just record and send it to us.
And you got to the heart of what they're looking for.
Yeah.
Again, they're not looking for the podcast. You answered what they were looking for. They're looking for the sales lead.
Yeah, you didn't give a rat's ass about a podcast. What they cared about is speaking with people. And mm-hmm. one of the beautiful things about podcasting is, I heard about you somewhere, and I thought, oh, that Kelly Lichtenberg, she seems really smart about emotional intelligence. I want to pick her brain. Mm-hmm. And so I, friend you on social media, and I do the dance of liking and commenting on pictures of your cats and dogs. And then I DM you and I say, Hey, I love your posts. I was wondering if I could pick your brain for a few minutes about this emotional intelligence thing. What is your likely answer going to be? And be candid with me.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, you would.
Oh, see, when I thought you were talking to me about something, again, making me feel good that you recognized what I do. And
Yeah.
yeah, the
Okay,
way
then.
you said it, I would.
Okay, so you are a very rare exception. That approach, most people are lucky to even get a response. So
Well,
they, so what they, because what they hear is, oh, here's another person who is not going to buy my stuff anyway, who just wants to get a free consultation or a free coaching session out of me.
got
But
it.
let's reframe that as, and you can even do this without that whole dance. You can say, I'm looking for some great people for my podcast, and I saw your post or I saw your article about emotional intelligence, and I've been wanting to do an episode about this for a while. Are you in?
There
Well,
you go.
heck. You know how many people to a complete stranger are going to say either, well, hell yes, or tell me more.
So I see exactly what you're saying. So if I get a lot of them just asking for the, kind of informational, you can kind of read it, right? Like I get a
Right.
lot of things even on LinkedIn myself. Do you know, give me 10 minutes to talk about this or that. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you're specific enough and coming at me, like even though I know you were trying to say the no, get me to say the no answer at the beginning. You came at me with some good information that actually, sounded like you were very interested in what I do. So it was more than a sale. It was more of, again, putting me there as that, what I was saying, thought leader, and people like that. But a lot of times people are coming at us with just the, I wanted, talk to you because then they want to sell you something. And you feel that. Again, that's where it becomes a sales. They're not doing anything that anybody else isn't already doing. So again, you've lost me, when it's all the
Right.
same. I have a sea of noise out there of people that want to show me this very quick, show me that. They think I'm interested in this. Or they've used, here's where, again, AI can actually hurt you too. They've gone out and they've taken a few things from what they've seen on LinkedIn, plugged it in, and then they didn't look any further and let the computer tell them what I'd be interested in.
Right.
So instead of knowing that maybe I'm more of the coaching side, than I am the, training side, what have you, they've positioned the messaging all wrong and I can see right through it.
Yeah, do you have a cat?
I don't.
Oh, because if you had a cat, I could sell you ice in winter. I'm an Alorafowl and I'm owned by two house panthers. I
Got it.
can speak I am fluent in Lol speak. You have a dog? Do
I don't.
you have a horse?
I don't.
Do you have a snake?
I have no animals.
Okay, we finally cut to the chase here because I was looking. I don't have a snake myself, but my sister had a lot of different reptiles. She had geckos and iguanas and snakes and these things called onomasticons or something. I think that's how you pronounce it. I mean, it was basically a reptile zoo up in there. So I'm familiar with a lot of these interesting creatures. But I could be conversing about any one of those. But see, that's the thing. Artificial intelligence also couldn't tell me that. They couldn't identify if maybe there's a common ground thing where maybe we have an interest outside of business where we could bond, or could it? I'm asking you.
I think it would have to dig deep. It's still not there yet. I think there'll be a day that it'll be able to pull all of our information and tell us that, which is actually scary. Where it is today, no, I think that's just it though too. It's pulling from information that's out there and gathering bits and pieces and spitting out what seems to be the most likely bits of data. If this is there, that should be true. If that's there, that should be true. It doesn't mean any of it. You know that when you even use things to rewrite an email, you better look at it because chances are it might not be correct grammatically, or it might be missing some information. So it's not perfect yet. And it should not be, again, doing your job. And if you want to be really good at what you do in sales, that's really getting to know your end user, your prospects, by getting to know them personally, having them tell you.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that. So, we've talked about cold calling, we've talked about relating to people trying to get accurate information about potential points in common. How we even went into dating and relationships here. So we have delved into a few things that sometimes cause people discomfort. Now, you have taught and spoken about what you call the uncomfortable zone.
Yes.
So how do we leverage that?
Well, nothing that we do in life, our most greatest achievements, I promise, they're all from getting outside your comfort zone. Everything amazing that happens is once you step outside, try something new, you might work really, really hard at it. And I promise you're going to high five yourself for doing it. So I'm constantly trying to push people outside of their comfort zone to get to where they really want to be in life. Nobody sits in that comfort zone and gets to where they really want to be in life.
Right, right, right. And I think that artificial intelligence is uncomfortable for people because they don't quite understand it. I think emotional intelligence is sometimes uncomfortable for people because now we're getting all emotional.
Yeah. I think it's very uncomfortable because you have to look at different things. And where I think people get worried is just that first word, emotional. I don't want to be emotional. It has a lot more to do with, it's just self-awareness, being able to know what motivates you. So getting out of the comfort zone, you need to have motivation. So what is it? How motivated are you to do something? How badly do you really want it? Then looking out, you know, self-awareness to know how long has it been sitting there and you haven't done anything with it. Self-regulation, you know, how mad are you going to get at certain things and be able to control it? So there's so many different things. It doesn't mean you're sitting down and just crying.
Right. yeah. I actually heard somebody say, well, I'm not dealing with emotional intelligence. That's so unprofessional. What? I've also had folks that have argued that you shouldn't say the person's first name when sending them a broadcast email, as in Kelly, comma, like you would write any other email, because they say, well, this is not a personal email. Why would I send a personal email? They don't want that crap. The hell they don't. Because in the end, human beings want to feel good and they want to have good feelings. So I mean, because in the otherwise there would not be infotainment, there would not be edutainment as sales tactics.
Yeah, the number one word you can use to get in with anybody is their name.
Yeah.
Because that shows that you know who they are. That makes them already, oh, okay, you know me.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's something that I have to work on. Sometimes I don't remember people's names and I try, but you know, when somebody says your name and you're looking at them like, how do they remember? That's amazing. People want to hear their name. So somebody saying they don't want to hear that is mind blowing to me.
I had a professor at Duquesne University for, I think it was an accounting class. And I remember the first day of class when he took roll, he would say the person's name, the person would raise their hand, and he would stare at them for 5 seconds. He was using some kind of mind technique. I don't know what it was, but from that point forward, he knew your name. 15 years later.
Wow.
And this wasn't even in Pittsburgh. It was some other place. I was somewhere for a seminar or a conference in some other state. And he happened to be in the same place at the same time. I was in the hotel lobby and he was walking by and he said, hi, Adam, as he was walking by. And I had to do it like a double and a triple take. Oh my God. He remembered my name from 15 years ago.
But it makes you stop,
doesn't it? And he just walked by like he was saying hello to somebody he sees every day.
Amazing. Look, so and you're talking about him.
Yeah, so they're tech. Yeah, you went where I was headed. You picked up what I was putting down. I'm still talking about him. And you know, I have a tactic for this, and I disclose this to people. In order for me to effectively remember the name of somebody I meet in person, because I'm not good with names, is I will remember your name if I see you in person on two separate occasions and have two separate conversations with you, and I call you by your name both of those times. So the first time we meet in person, you'll tell me your name is Kelly. I'll probably call you that a couple times. But then I might see you a month later, and it's like, wait, is this Kim or is this Becky? Like, it's like, you know, and usually I'll just say, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not good with names, and I've only met you once, and I need to meet you twice. What's your name again? And you'll tell me, and then I'll say it back to you. And after that, I'll remember it for life.
There you go.
But also,
that's awesome.
But also being candid about that, because the idea of being, you know, not being good with names is a universal human condition. And if you can humanize that, you can actually use it as a point of relation.
Absolutely. It's the number one on scientifically proven, the number one thing that'll get you to pay attention. Because when you hear your name, you respond.
Right. So how can sales leaders work with their teams to better get into this emotional stuff, perceiving it, interpreting it, and managing it?
Well, I think it starts with they actually have to be aware of their emotional intelligence as well. You have to meet your team like you. When I talk about prospects, I want to know my team. So I can't just talk about what I'm trying to learn from my prospects. I want to know what motivates each person on my team. I want to know what makes them successful.
Right.
And their level of success doesn't mean mine. What may, you know, be what motivates them in a day is not mine. So I need to know that. So if I'm going to be a good manager and I'm going to work with them on what makes them a great salesperson using emotional intelligence, I better be ready and up for the challenge myself. So as leaders, we can't just say, here's your KPIs, go for it.
Yeah.
I have to be able to know, again, you know, we used to, you know, talk a lot about training. Well, some people like videos better and some people like the written word and some, right. Well, it's the same way with all kinds of things. And we just have to be more open to it as leaders to understand, because I tell my team, I can give you the scripts. I can give you all the, you know, applications you need to do your job.
Right.
But what makes you successful as a person may not be what makes me successful in my role. So what is it? Teach me some things too. I want to have people that come to me and say, here's something new that I just tried and it worked. And I'm like, great, let's do it. Not every single person, not every single sales rep is the same thing across the board, no matter what profession, not everybody's going to be the same. Not everybody's going to be successful in the same way. So it's really meeting them where they are.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's where leaders have to start.
Precisely. And, you know, and there's something that comes up here. And again, we're in kind of a mastermind mode here. And I think we have about 10 minutes left here. So I'm going to spend a minute or two on this. You know, we hear this whole thing about how it's supposedly impolite to hold your device in your hand while you're having a conversation with somebody, or if you're on your laptop sitting next to them, like every time they interject, no matter what, you're supposed to stop, turn and face them. Because if you're looking ahead and typing, even though you're in the conversation, you're fully following it, that's somehow rude. I think we're beyond that. Candidly, like I'm going to give you a very raw, oh my God type example. Do you remember when I gave the example of no means not right now, and I said the phrase, I don't know your personal situation?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I got curious. You're married.
I am.
I figured that out just while I was thumbing through my laptop here. So you can be in a conversation with somebody and they're giving you feedback just through what seems like a regular, ordinary conversation, because that's essentially what it is. And while they're doing that, you can be on your device. And for all they know, you're just, you know, sort of monitoring an urgent work issue. In fact, if they ask, or if you feel like you're spending a little much time looking at the device, you can say, hey, just sorry, keep going. I'm with you. My assistant, we have a thing with a client right now. We're working out real quick. Just keep talking. But I could be taking data that you're giving me. I could be on your website finding out what is it that your service actually is. I could be scanning your social media saying, what is Kelly talking about? What are some of her needs? What are some of the things that she is likely to respond to? And I can use that to guide my conversation using the common behaviors that most people engage in these days.
And if you can, you know, do multiple things at once, I say yes. It's the people that can't and get lost in it and forget they're having a conversation, that could be perceived as, you know, rude to somebody if they don't know what you're doing. So you talking through it, I knew exactly what you were doing. But others, if they're just all of a sudden lost and they just have to look at their computer and forget there's a person there, that's where I think that would be an issue.
Well, I think that's where emotional intelligence comes in, is being able to strike that balance. And it's a skill to be able to multitask like that.
Absolutely. You have to have social awareness.
I've consciously developed that skill.
Yeah.
So, and there's a way to make that feel natural. So, you may think, he's probably texting with his assistant. They're probably have something going on with work. But meanwhile, I'm researching you.
Right.
because I'm trying to figure out what it is you're going to respond to. You asked me, what do I do? And I turned it around on you because I got to find out what your needs, wants, and desires are. So I know if you're a prospect and how to phrase that. Well, I need to know a little bit more than you're likely to tell me. And I need it now.
Yep.
Because that networking reception might be my one shot.
Correct.
Because, I mean, all those business cards we got over the years, how many of those actually turned into relationships?
Oh, my gosh.
I was one of the first people to just say to hell with business cards. I was a fairly early adopter to the idea of, if we're going to be communicating beyond this seminar or this networking event, it's likely, at least in the short term, going to be on social media anyway. So if we're feeling simpatico, let's just connect now.
Absolutely.
That's what got me into LinkedIn because, LinkedIn, particularly in those situations, is something that people are likely to respond to. I mean, you ask for their Facebook or their Instagram or their ex or something like that. They say, oh, okay, now they're going and they're going to be buddy-buddy with me. But LinkedIn is like the Rolodex, the business contact side of it. So if you need to sort of edge into the waters, you can start with LinkedIn because people view that as being quote-unquote harmless.
Oh yeah,
that's just your business Rolodex, and you can start the conversation from LinkedIn from there. Get them on your podcast, and now you're exchanging. Watch this, and now you get them on your podcast. You interview them, and as part of the process of promoting their episode, you become friends with them on the other social media networks, so that when you release the episode, you can tag them in your posts.
Awesome.
But by now, because you've now had that second live conversation, the relationship is a bit warmer. And now you can move into those other areas without it seeming like an imposition.
Absolutely.
I'm like spilling my secrets here.
Well, they're good. That's very true.
So I think that, and again, as much as you can, if you could work emotional intelligence, artificial intelligence, and any other forms of intelligence, including alien intelligence, for all I care, or feline intelligence, I think this would be a great place because I think it all comes to this. As I said, we're going to jump around a bit, but we need to know how to speak with people. We need to know how to elicit their reactions, find out what they need, what they want, what they respond to. How do you know what questions to ask?
Yeah. And I think that we were all, with the pandemic being inside, people, they really stopped talking to each other. Uh-huh. And it's taking time for people to really get out there and again, bring back the human level and want to communicate and not have the ick factor of people.
Right.
Not everything's bad. At some point, you're going to need something and need to buy it. Let me help you.
Right. Okay, so I think there's something to that, and I think a lot of us have gotten zoomed out, and there's science behind that as well. Mm-hmm. You being an expert in communication, I think you're gonna at least understand what I'm talking about. So again, let's say you and I met at a seminar or conference, and there's a bit of simpatico, and we decide to go somewhere and chat for a bit. Mm-hmm. So we grab a drink, we go over to that table over there on the side or whatever, and we have a conversation sort of like the one we're having right now. Are we going to be sitting directly across from each other, staring directly into each other's eyes the whole time with our shoulders straight, holding our media pose?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it sounds uncomfortable like that.
Bingo, bingo, bingo. Because see, in an actual conversation like that, you may be sitting facing each other. You could be sitting at diagonals from each other. You could be sitting where you're both facing forward. You're not necessarily looking each other in the eye the whole time. And there are also going to be occasional pauses in the conversation. Like, you may have a question for me that you share with me, and I may need a moment to think about it. So you will perceive subtle shifts. Maybe if my legs were crossed, I uncross them or vice versa. Or I take my hand and I touch my chin with it. Or I lean back or I stare up at the ceiling. It could be any one of these different nonverbals to say, hang loose, I got you. I just need a sec on this one. I'm here. Mm-hmm. But if you're doing this on a Zoom call and you're staring into the webcam, well, after about half a second, that's like, hello, are you there? Are we connected? Or Right. Are you going to answer the question? Hello, you're on a call. Answer the question.
Mm-hmm. there's a whole skill set there for
and
sure.
And then you're getting the impact of blue screens and the rays that come from the monitors and the devices and all that. And it really screws with your head really bad. And that's where we get the idea of zoomed out. I've been hearing for years that I should have a video component to the Business Creators Radio Show. And in light of everything I just told you, in fact, I'm going to give you a hint and set it aside. Do you know why the Business Creators Radio Show is audio only?
Well, why is that?
Do you know why it doesn't have a video component? I want you to try to make one guess.
My guess would be because it makes it more authentic where you're thinking about your responses.
Well, there's that, and I just don't want to.
Okay.
I mean, well, there's that. I get that helpful advice all the time. Well, it would be so much more engaging if I could look at you. I don't want to. I mean, yeah. I don't want to have to put on a special shirt for this or sit upright for an hour or what have you, or hold my head a certain way, and I already disclosed to you that while we've been chatting, I have about 5 different browser tabs open. So all those things that I just described, mm-hmm. I actually did. So mm-hmm. Yes, there was a chat with my assistant. Because a client is asking for something, and she wanted to know if it was going to be feasible. So I briefly chatted with her about that while you and I were talking. And our conversation about yes, no, maybe so, no means not right now, I did think to myself, wait, is Kelly married?
And that came look to how mind. Fast. Yeah.
That came to mind. And I also thought, when we got into the speaking, coaching, consulting thing, I looked at, okay, so what does Kelly do? So here I am on www.prospectlikeagirl.com, which I've been going through all the pages. And yet, I've been present the whole time. But how would that have looked on a video? Would it have looked like I was all over the place?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's what I mean about the mastermind experience of the Business Creators Radio Show. Not to mention that we've studied the user behavior of our listeners. We've done surveys. I've had informal conversations with some of my most avid listeners. And I found that by and large, people listen to this show streaming it while they're doing something else. So they're not going to be seeing it anyway. So why bother?
Yes, that's good.
I just don't want to. Yeah. All right. So I want to turn it over to you before we wrap up here. And I'm going to extend an invitation you asked us to share on your behalf. And then anything else you want to add to give people something to think about would be great, is if you are interested in this idea of emotional intelligence mixing with artificial intelligence, and you want to, if you're a girl and you want to prospect like one, or if you're a boy and you want to prospect like a girl, or whatever, I'm just being silly here. But anything having to do with empowerment, achieving extraordinary sales results, understanding the balance between emotional intelligence over artificial intelligence, and capturing that mind share and heart share in a tech-driven world, you go to Kelly's website and you mention to her, and I'm not getting anything for this. I'm doing this because I'm a friend. You go there. You mention you heard her on the Business Creators Radio Show, and it was the best podcast you've ever listened to. That's very important. You have to say that. And if you simply go to www.prospectlikeagirl.com and then add a /, and then add the word consultation, you'll see a very simple form where you can book a free consultation with Kelly, goodness of her heart, and you can have a chat about how you could do a custom session. It would be tailored to whatever your needs are, what your wants are, or what it is you respond to. So Kelly, have I missed anything?
No, that's great. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well, Kelly Lichtenberger, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been an honor, and believe me, an education.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I've loved being here, and I look forward to speaking again.
We trust you enjoyed today's episode of the Business Creators Radio Show. Check out our previous and upcoming episodes on our website at www.businesscreatorsradioshow.com. While you're there, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network so you get fresh episodes delivered straight to you. Until next time, have a great day. Take care.